So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Attorney General Josh Call took the oath of office on January 7th, so 5 weeks later. It's a great time to do a newsmaker's interview with Attorney General Josh Call. Josh, thank you for your first on-the-job Wisconsin Eye Newsmakers interview. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
1 year ago, tragic note, the Park Lawn shooting. Do you think the governor will introduce the red flag bill that you called for when the governor introduces his February 28th budget?
I know that the governor has said he supports it, and I believe there is some interest in the legislature in moving forward with the red flag bill. I think it is critical that however the process works, that we move forward with some common sense gun safety measures. As you mentioned, not just the events in Parkland, but there have been so many of these tragedies. And, in the last full school year, over 4 million kids in the U.S. went through lockdowns. Not drills, but actual lockdowns. We need to change this culture, and we need to take common sense steps. So I'm hopeful that we will see a red flag bill. I think it would be great to see universal background checks and long-term funding for mental health programs in our schools, too.
Columbine, April 20th, 99. Park Lawn, 1 year ago. What have we learned as a society? What have you learned as a law enforcement professional about gun violence, sir?
Well, one thing I think we've learned is that there are signs often before these incidents take place. There certainly were before the Parkland tragedy, and that's one of the reasons that I'm an advocate for a red flag law, because when there are those signs, I want law enforcement officers to have an option to be able to take action. I think, we also have seen that we need to make sure we have effective mental health programs in our schools so that counselors are able to work with students. And that's going to take not just one-time funding, but long-term funding in our schools. So those are two of the steps I think we should be taking. I also think, and I'll just add, there are things we can do to make sure that the physical security of our schools is safer as well. We started that with legislation passed in the last session, but making sure that schools have a standardized protocol for assessing risk and have a protocol in place for how they respond when they see potential threats to safety. I think that that's important, making sure that schools have, that they've submitted blueprints so that law enforcement knows how to respond most effectively. There are ways that we can improve the physical safety of buildings as well.
That $100 million in grants for school safety, how much of that can your administration dole out, or is it all gone?
The vast majority of it has been awarded. Over $95 million out of the $100 million has been awarded. So there's just a small amount remaining. The way that the grants worked is that the grants were awarded, but the money is being paid out as receipts are received from the schools. So much of the money is still to be paid out, but by and large, the grants have been awarded with the exception of a small percentage of that $100 million.
Was $100 million enough? Do you think the next budget, the 2019-2021 budget, should include a new grant program for school safety, sir?
I think that the amount of money that was provided before was effective in terms of allowing for physical upgrades to be made at schools, to have things like physical improvement, school hardening, as they call it, done. Yes. But what I think we need funding for now is, first of all, the long-term mental health funding I mentioned.
Right. So you support the governor when he said in the State of the State, my budget is going to increase money for mental health.
I do support that.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No, and I also think that it is important that the Office of School Safety at the Department of Justice continue on. I think it can be a place where we are having some of the things I talked about, like threat assessment protocols developed, where we can work with schools to help them develop appropriate responses to threats, and where we can assess what policies have worked in other states, what things haven't worked, and how can we do more to make our schools safer.
5 weeks on the job, apart from naming the 10 jobs that you can fill, what program, what need has occupied your time first 5 weeks on the job?
A big one is making sure that our crime labs are working effectively. There have been increased delays in testing times for DNA evidence since 2016 was an increase over 2015. 2017 was an increase over 2016. We need to turn that around because the work that the crime lab is doing helps law enforcement across the state when it comes, in some cases, to identifying suspects, and in other cases, to making sure that prosecutions are successful. And the work they do, that means that the work they do ultimately makes our communities safer. So we've got to make sure that they have the resources that they need. So one of the things I've done is I've gone to each of the three state crime labs. I've spoken to the director and deputy director of the Wisconsin State Crime Labs. And our budget request, which hopefully will be included in Governor Evers' request to the legislature, one of the things we focused on is improving the crime labs, providing additional resources so that turnaround times will be able to be reduced and that the crime lab is able to work more efficiently, because there's outstanding, talented staff there that's doing really high-quality scientific work. We just need to make sure that the labs have the resources they need to handle the volume of cases coming in.
Wisconsin Public Radio did a story on the increase in time lag, the increasing lags in state crime lab testing. Were any of those stats new to you?
No, those were stats that I was aware of, and one of the things that they talked about was the increased time for DNA analysis. Another area where there has been an increase is with firearm examinations. We are optimistic that we will be able to turn that around, but it takes time to train examiners for firearms. It takes time to train DNA analysts. And so if you have a small unit and you lose one or two examiners, that can create delays or backlogs. So, having some additional firearms examiners is another area that I think is going to be helpful so that we can prevent there from being another delay if we are able to reduce the turnaround times that we're seeing right now.
Is there any backlog creeping up in an issue that was crucial to your campaign with rape kits?
Well, one of the things that is a focus of mine is working to develop legislation that's going to prevent another backlog from developing. I think there is a need for clarity when it comes to when law enforcement or hospitals should be submitting kits to the Department of Justice, to the crime labs. So I think we need to clarify that in the statutes. I think we need to make clear that a survivor has the right to offer consent or to choose not to consent to having a kit being tested. So one of the things that I'm working to do is to develop that legislation and hopefully to present something that will be introduced in the legislature in the next few months.
What do you hope the governor recommends in the issue of prison reform, criminal justice reform? Do you hope he comes up with ways to deal with what's been called crimeless revocations? Your hope in terms of his budget for the changes to the criminal justice system?
So there are sort of two things I look at with any proposals for reform to the criminal justice system, the correction system. One is the policy going to either make our community safer, or is it going to not have an effect on public safety? And if the answer to that is yes, then the question for me is it going to make the system fairer? And if the policy meets both of those tests, I think we should move forward with it. And so I'll give you an example. I think that community policing is something that makes our community safer, because I think law enforcement gets better information when law enforcement officers know people in the communities where they're working, and vice versa. And I also think it leads to better, fairer outcomes, because if law enforcement officers know people, they have a better sense of who is somebody who might pose a serious threat to public safety. Treatment and diversion programs, likewise. I think when we get people who need substance abuse treatment or mental health treatment, the treatment that they need, I think we're a lot better off in the long term than if those people go to jail for a period of time, because we can address the underlying issues. So we get fairer outcomes, but we also make our communities safer. So those sorts of programs that take us in that direction are ones that I support.
Answering a question, Governor Evers said that his budget will take a step towards medical marijuana. Then he said he would support a referendum on recreational marijuana. Is it wise? And then Speaker Voss and other GOP leaders says it was not wise to twin up those two issues. Should those issues be dealt with separately? First, medical marijuana?
My personal preference would be to see legislation that first passes, that first legalizes medical marijuana. I should add, there are, I think, several reasons we should do that. One is there are people who face serious issues with pain who I think should have access to medical marijuana if it's going to alleviate that pain. It would bring in revenue for the state. And then in the midst of an opioid epidemic, I think that states that have legalized medical marijuana have had better outcomes with respect to the opioid epidemic than other states. And you know, the logic behind that from my perspective is pretty straightforward, which is if you have a doctor who has a patient who has serious issues with pain, I would rather see the patient prescribed medical marijuana than an opioid. So I would like to see that step taken. I think we should take that one first and then assess and see how things go before we make a decision on recreational, because once we have medical marijuana legalized, we can see what effects, if any, that that's having on unsafe driving, how the banking system is working out, given that the issues with the federal laws. Yes. We can make sure that the system is adjusting appropriately and then make a decision about recreational.
You think there'd be any value in a statewide referendum on recreational marijuana, General?
I think there's always value in seeing where Wisconsinites stand on issues. I think, you know, the referenda we had in 2018 in many municipalities, some dealt with medical marijuana, some dealt with full legalization. But I think that, you know, I think it helped shape the debate about these issues generally, and I think it's a good way to get information. So I'm not opposed to a referendum, but my personal view is we should move forward in steps.
Victims of priest sex abuse want DOJ to open investigations into sex abuse by priests statewide. Other attorney generals have done this. Is your DOJ considering opening a statewide review of priest sexual abuse?
So let me just say, first of all, that, you know, as you mentioned, other states have started to look into this. Yes. Pennsylvania issued a grand jury report. And there's been some information about what's going on here in Wisconsin. Some information has been released publicly recently.
The Green Bay Diocese, I think.
That's right.
Excuse
and me. First of all, what has happened is horrendous. These are serious crimes, and survivors deserve justice. There's no question about that. Now, that being said, this relates to a potential investigation. And, as a general matter, we don't comment on whether we're pursuing an investigation or how the investigation is going. There are exceptions to that, but at this point, I won't be commenting on the specifics of a potential investigation.
Can you say that at this moment there's no DOJ investigation?
I don't want to comment on whether there's an investigation, if so, what it's doing at this point.
Let me ask this. Should all Wisconsin Catholic dioceses release names of those priests credibly accused of sexual abuse?
I think they should. I think the more information that the public has about this, the better. And it's especially important that anybody who is in any proximity to children, anybody who is still working with others who is credibly accused of sexual assault, that information is made available to the public so that people can take appropriate action.
Milwaukee lost 3 police officers in the line of duty, I think, in the last 18, maybe 24 months. Are you concerned that fewer young adults will not want to be law enforcement officers? Do you think we're looking at a potential crisis in terms of future law enforcement officers?
Yeah, and it's actually been 3 in about 8 months. It is a tragedy.
Again,
so there are a few things. First of all, I think it is important that we recognize the bravery of what law enforcement officers are doing. They are day in and day out putting their safety at risk to protect the safety of others, to make our communities safer. That's partly through working to reduce crime, but it's also through things like administering Narcan to people who have overdosed. Law enforcement officers are saving lives in the state of Wisconsin, and they're putting their safety at risk to do it. And I think we need to talk about that more. I think that there has been a lot of discussion about law enforcement practices, and I think that is entirely appropriate to have debates about those issues. But I think it's also important that we recognize the incredible work that law enforcement officers are doing in communities across Wisconsin to make people safer.
You've got young children. If in a few years one of them said, "I'd like to be a police officer," would you advise them, go ahead?
I would proudly support them in that. My stepdad, Bill, was a police officer in Neenah. My stepbrother is a deputy sheriff in Winnebago County. Law enforcement makes a huge difference, and they're able, as I said, to make our communities stronger. And I think anybody who steps up to serve the public in that way should be commended for it and should be encouraged for it. Now, that being said, we do need to make sure that we are taking steps we can to make sure that law enforcement officers are safe. That includes safe when they are in the line of duty, but it also includes making sure that we're promoting wellness among officers so that we can work to address any mental health issues, any PTSD issues that come up, because law enforcement officers do face some really difficult challenges, and making sure that we have systems in place so that support can be provided is really important as well.
Governor Evers has said that the Foxconn air pollution permits and water diversion permits should be reviewed. Does that involve your agency or just DNR, sir?
That would be a review by DNR if it were conducted. Where the Department of Justice would potentially get involved is if there were some sort of legal challenge or if there was some allegation that laws were being broken. I can say that the approach that the Department of Justice would take with respect to Foxconn generally is the same that it would take with any other company or person, which is, if the law is broken and that's going to have serious consequences for Wisconsinites, that's when DOJ would look at, potentially doing some sort of enforcement action. But the approach is the same for everybody in Wisconsin. That includes Foxconn.
How do you want your environmental protection unit to perform differently than that division has performed over the last 12 years?
So I think there are a couple of things we need to do. First and foremost, there is, unfortunately, a clean water problem in Wisconsin. We have too many parts of the state right now where there is not reliable, consistent, safe drinking water. It's bad for our health. It's also bad for our economy because if you're going to grow the economy in an area, attract people, attract businesses, it's a lot easier to do if it's a place that has clean water. And so this is an important issue and one that I intend to focus on. And there are a couple things that we can do right away. One is, I'm hoping that we will be working collaboratively with DNR. I expect that there will be more referrals from DNR to DOJ than there had been in the past. And we're going to take those referrals seriously when they're coming over from DNR. Another important step is just adding resources to our environmental and protection unit. That unit had gotten quite small under the prior attorney general. And making sure that there are a sufficient number of attorneys to handle the caseload there is important. And then third, we're going to ensure that that those who break our environmental laws are treated even-handedly and that they're held accountable. I don't anticipate that cases that are serious enough that they're going to be getting to the Department of Justice are going to be resolved, without any significant consequence. So making sure that that polluters know that they will be held accountable, I think, will help deter pollution here in Wisconsin.
Maybe it's been weeks. It's at least been several days. You asked Joint Finance to meet on the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. They've not met. They've met on the tax cut and other things. What does their inaction mean for the state of Wisconsin's role in the Affordable Care lawsuit, sir?
So I think it was last week, Representative Nygren had some comments on this, and I think he said that his caucus had yet to meet on that issue. So we'll see what happens on that. But as of today, Wisconsin remains involved in the lawsuit. As you know, I sent a request to Joint Finance requesting that we be permitted to withdraw from the lawsuit. But this is a clear example of the impact that the extraordinary session legislation has had on the way that our government functions here in Wisconsin. If this had come up, before that legislation, it would have been a simple matter of the governor approving a request from the AG's office to withdraw from the suit if that's what DOJ was asking for. Now the process is different. The governor doesn't have that authority anymore. Instead, it rests with a legislative committee.
If Joint Finance meets and doesn't approve withdrawal from the ACA lawsuit, DOJ have any options, sir?
So generally speaking, when the Department of Justice is involved in a case on behalf of the state of Wisconsin, its job is to represent the state and make sure that it is, you know, making the arguments that should be made and is appropriately representing the state. And so, you know, we would approach this the way we would the representation in any other case, which is that we proceed to litigate the case as is appropriate.
Would you personally withdraw the agency and rely on private or hire private attorneys to fulfill the state's duties?
No, this is a case where DOJ is involved, and I don't think there's any reason that DOJ shouldn't. To the extent that the state of Wisconsin is involved in the case, there's no reason that DOJ shouldn't be representing the state. I just believe, as I made clear to the Joint Finance Committee, that that it's in the best interests of the state to withdraw from that suit.
State of Wisconsin cannot just stop filing documents in the ACA case, can it?
No, if the state remains involved in the case, we will continue litigating
it. To meet those deadlines?
Absolutely.
What has your office lost when the office of the Solicitor General was abolished, General?
So first of all, we lost four lawyers. While that's not a huge percentage of the attorneys at the Department of Justice, there are about 100 attorneys there, it's, you know, it still has an impact on the margins. And what we've also lost is the ability to recruit people who are interested in having that position, people who are interested in being appellate specialists who can represent the state in high-profile litigation or litigation in the state Supreme Court or the courts of appeals. Now, that being said, there are a lot of really talented, dedicated attorneys at the Department of Justice who will step up and do that work and represent the state very well. But, you know, by not having an SG's office, that means that more work is going to be going to the other attorneys, and you know, our ability to that's a, you know, it limits the resources we have, not in a huge way, but marginally. My preference would be to have a few attorneys in the SG's office, not as many as my predecessor had, and have some additional assistant AGs who are working on criminal cases.
I just did an interview with Senator Tester and Representative Taylor, who co-chaired the Legislative Council Study Committee on Police Body Cameras. They're putting forth a bill, and the committee recommended it unanimously, that police body camera footage must be kept for 120 days, and agencies that use body cameras must draft rules and regulations governing their use. Do you support that legislation?
I do. I think it's good legislation. There's been a lot of work that's gone into it. And I think it is a good balance of the public's interest in knowing what's on body cam video, but also ensuring that there are protections in place so that if a case goes to litigation, for example, there are the right rules in place, and also to make sure that law enforcement agencies aren't incurring huge costs by having to store these videos indefinitely.
Do you think law enforcement agencies across Wisconsin should be encouraged to use body cameras and maybe mandated over a period of 5 or 10 years? Are they that valuable?
I think they should be encouraged. They are quite valuable. The problem with a mandate is that mandates are often unfunded,
yes,
and you know, law enforcement agencies have to make difficult decisions about how to use their resources. And I don't think we should have mandates unless they're going to come with the funding that agencies need to make those purchases.
There was a $100 million grant for school safety. Should the state consider grants for police body cameras?
I think it may not be necessary at this point. Many agencies have gotten body cameras. I'm hopeful that if this legislation passes, more may do so. My preference would be to see funding go to some other priorities, things like expanding access to treatment programs, funding enforcement efforts, that sort of thing.
Next steps over the next 2 years in fighting the opioid and methamphetamine epidemic?
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned both, because one of the problems that's growing quickly here in Wisconsin is the distribution of meth. And that's something we need to raise awareness about. The next steps are going to include exactly that, which is making sure that people are aware of the danger, certainly that opioids pose, but also the danger that meth poses, and the really increased danger that comes with fentanyl, which has been another increasing problem here in Wisconsin. So making the public aware is an important step. Making sure that we continue to expand access to treatment is important, because when people become addicted to these drugs, those addictions can be very difficult to beat, and we've got to have a process in place, have treatment options in place that allow people to get the help that they need. And then on the enforcement front, I think it's critical that law enforcement across the state work closely together so that we can work on cases that dismantle large-scale drug trafficking conspiracies. That requires it requires cooperation between local, county, state, and federal law enforcement if we're going to do that effectively across the state. And it requires long-term intensive investigations. Just this morning we announced the award of some grants for law enforcement agencies.
Federal grants, right?
These are state grants.
State grants.
$1 million. It was legislation authored by Representative Nygren and Senator Leah Vukmir. And law enforcement agencies have gotten funding that goes to things like undercover vehicles, equipment for surveillance, safety gear or safety equipment, and also money for undercover drug buys. And I'm hopeful that those funds will help agencies do these kinds of cases where they're able to have longer-term investigations. They don't just make a single arrest, but work their way up the chain of supply and are able to go after groups of drug dealers.
That recent news headline, opioid prescriptions down 28% in a year. How significant a victory is that? Do you think we've hit bottom in our epidemic with opioids and methamphetamine and other addictive substances?
I think we've turned a corner when it comes to prescribers. As you mentioned, there has been a significant decrease there. And for the long term, I think that that's going to be really important, because hopefully it'll mean that fewer people are getting addicted because they've been prescribed opioids and now can't beat that addiction. But in the shorter term, one of the things that we need to make sure we're focused on is people who are shifting from prescriptions to other drugs, to illegal opioids like heroin, because heroin, fentanyl are incredibly dangerous, and we've got to work with people who are addicted to get them treatment. It's one of the reasons I'm such an advocate for treatment, is now that we have a number of people who are addicted, we have to do what we can to help people beat those addictions, and treatment is, I think, a critical step in that respect.
Is there any Wisconsin impact in the national debate over immigration and build the wall? Is there any fallout for this state and for DOJ?
I think that there is fallout here, like there is in other places, in the sense that having the federal government shut down can make, for example, make groups concerned about grant funding coming through. I think that, I would personally like to see the money that we're talking about spending on a wall be focused on more critical needs, whether that's fighting our opioid epidemic and our meth problem, providing funding for school safety. I think that we can do a lot more with those resources if they're used in other ways.
So you don't support the wall as envisioned by President Trump?
I do not.
Bring me up to date. I'm confused. The three lawsuits aimed at the lame duck laws.
Yes.
Is your agency not representing any of them?
So one of the cases is one that I am screened from. It's a case that deals with some voting laws in Wisconsin.
Right. Got involved in that before you became Attorney General.
That's right.
So you're off of that. I understand that.
A second case is a case that the League of Women Voters is involved in. And in that one, we have taken the position that the Department of Justice has a significant interest in the outcome of that case.
Yes.
Because it relates to the powers of the AG's office.
The powers of the Attorney General.
Exactly. And that gives us a significant interest in the outcome of the case. And because of that, our view is that we shouldn't be representing the state and defending the statute in that case, because there's a potential conflict there. Now, there's another case that has been filed by some unions. That one is a little bit different, because I'm named in my official capacity as a defendant in that case. So in that case, I will be involved in it as a defendant. And we'll be addressing what that means for how DOJ participates in the case in the near future here.
Are taxpayers going to be on the hook for millions of dollars in legal fees? And there are these lame duck lawsuits?
One of the problems with the extraordinary session law, and this is coming as no surprise to anybody, I think, because it was certainly predicted at the time these laws were under consideration, is that there is all this litigation that it has spawned, and that litigation is going to cost the state significant amounts of money. You know, it's also set up a system that is less efficient than the system we had before. Now, instead of going to the governor's office for approval to withdraw from a lawsuit, DOJ has to go to a legislative committee. That's going to be a more complicated process.
Just two more questions. Have there been any settlements that the agency has entered into that the legislature has to now be a part of as a result of the lame duck legislation?
So I expect there will be settlements coming up where that will be the case. And the law generally applies not just to where DOJ is withdrawing from certain lawsuits, but if there is the statute says a civil action prosecuted by the Department of Justice, if there's a settlement, DOJ needs to get a approval there from the Joint Finance Committee. So if there's an argument that somebody has breached a contract with the state of Wisconsin, we are enforcing that through a suit in court, and we want to settle it. Under the current statute, DOJ needs to go to the legislature to get approval to settle that case.
Cumbersome process.
Yes.
Final question. When you testify before the Joint Finance Committee on your 2019-2021 budget, what are you going to tell them as your agency's top priorities over the next 2 years?
So our budget request, and we'll see what the governor's office sends over to the legislature, but what I expect is that it will reflect what our priority is, which is working to modernize the ability of the Department of Justice to respond to modern crimes. Partly that's going to be making sure that our crime labs have the resources they need, but I'd also like to see some additional positions, for example, for digital forensic unit examiners. Those are examiners who can recover evidence from cell phones, from computers, from other electronic devices. That's a critical function, not just for cases that the Division of Criminal Investigation at DOJ is working on, but for the state as a whole, because most law enforcement agencies in Wisconsin don't have digital forensic examiners. That's a service that DOJ can provide to agencies around the state and help them get evidence that in modern cases is important. I'd also like to see more grant funding, at least a continuation, if not expanded grant funding for treatment and diversion programs, and hopefully for programs that support innovative community policing programs that different law enforcement agencies around the state have.
Josh Call, thank you for the update on your first 5 weeks in office.
Thank you.
Thank you.